Good morning. My name's Adi, and this morning we're going to read from Romans chapter 5, like Reg alluded to a few moments ago. So it should come up on the screen. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Well, thanks, RD, and good morning, and welcome to church. My name is Tim. I'm a new member of the ministry team here at Christchurch, and it's a privilege to be here this morning opening up God's Word. And we are looking at a cracker of a passage here in Romans chapter 5. I encourage you to keep the passage open at home in front of you so that you can see that what I'm saying comes from the Word of God and we're not making it up. So let's, friends, now turn and talk to this God and ask him for his help this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray as we come before your word, we pray that you, through your Spirit, will speak to us. We pray that you will transform and change us more and more into the likeness of your Son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, quite some time ago, I was on an international flight. Do you remember those? It was just at the time as they were serving the evening meal. And my deliciously defrosted and microwaved chicken and potatoes had just appeared right in front of me, and I was looking forward to eating it. And then out of nowhere, the plane started to dive. My delicious food flew to the left and landed four seats over in the person's lap. And then the stewards, they ran back to their seats and buckled their belts low and tight. And then everyone in the cabin started to scream as the plane started to plummet and plummet and plummet. Then as quickly as it started, it stopped. The plane leveled out, and there was silence in the cabin. And after what seemed like an eternity, a voice came across the loudspeaker, a shaky yet confident voice that said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We've managed to regain control of the plane. You will be safe." And on hearing these beautiful words, the cabin exploded in celebrations of cheers. We were safe. The captain had saved us. And friends, I start with this story because it sort of captures all of our eternal perspectives. As Josh helpfully helped us see last week from Genesis 3, Romans 1, 2, and 5, that at one time or another, we were all spiritually plummeting to the ground in an out-of-control plane. Due to the original sin of Adam and Eve, our human heart was as dirty as Josh's fry pan after cooking dumplings. We were fallen. We were broken. We missed the mark. We were unclean before a perfect God. We were imperfect. And we know that. And the Bible says that we are sinners. And now if you're new to church, if you're checking us out online, you may be a little bit confused or offended or scared when we talk about the word sin. But before you switch off and write off Christianity or write off Christchurch and go to a different online service, I want to ask you one question. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever wondered why the world feels so unfair? Have you ever wondered why there is poverty, racism, inequality, sickness, death, disease? Have you ever wondered why either you yourself or someone you know feels insecure and unsettled? Well, according to the Bible, all these problems exist because we are at a foundational level disconnected from God. We are out of relationship with the loving God who made us for a purpose. We are, as verse 10 says, we are enemies with God. And this is what the Bible refers to as sin. And the reality is, friends, we won't be able to solve any of these presenting problems like poverty or racism or injustice until we fix that foundational problem of our fractured relationship with God. But if you were watching last week, you will know that we are unable to fix this foundational problem. You know we're unable to restore that relationship with God. You know that we do not have the spiritual pilot's license to fly the plane safely. We need help. We need a savior. And that's exactly what we're going to look at today. So as we turn to Romans 5 and look at this savior, I've got 2 points for us this morning to take away. The first point is we've been redeemed. The second point is we're being renewed. We've been redeemed and we're being renewed. So let's dive in and look at the fact that we've been redeemed. And this is actually one of Paul's main points throughout the whole of the book of Romans. The main point is that we need to be redeemed. We can't save ourselves. We need a savior. And these passages on the screen scream this fact. And this message permeates our text as well. If you look with me at verse 1, we see it there. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 6, we see it there. You see that at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. It's there again in verse 8. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if we missed it, it's there again in verse 9. Since we have now been justified by Jesus' blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Paul doesn't want us to miss the fact that we do not save ourselves, but we are saved. We are justified through Jesus' blood in our place, as he died in our place. Now, friends, I want to linger here just a little bit longer. Because Paul uses this key word, justified, a lot in this passage and in the whole book of Romans. And what does he mean by justification? Well, some of you might be thinking, well, isn't justification a little bit similar to forgiveness? Well, no, not really. Justification is so much more than forgiveness. Forgiveness actually is a negative concept. It means you're now free from punishment. But on the other hand, justification is a positive concept. It's a giving of a status with all the rights and benefits associated with that status. Do you remember the novel by Charles Dickens, Oliver Twist? You may have seen the movie. Well, there's this scene where the orphan Oliver is actually caught pickpocketing from the wealthy Mr. Brownlow. Now, in this scene, forgiveness would look like Mr. Brownlow saying to the orphan Oliver, "Give me back my wallet, you're forgiven, now get out of here and I won't call the police." That's forgiveness. But those of us who have read the novel or seen the movie, we know that that's not what Mr. Brownlow did. Mr. Brownlow did so much more than forgive the orphan Oliver. Mr. Brownlow took Oliver into his home. He cared for Oliver, and he treated him like his own son. Forgiveness says, "You're forgiven, you can go." But justification says, "You're forgiven, you can come." And friends, this passage, it declares that we have been justified. We have been declared righteous. We have been washed clean. We have been acquitted. We stand pure and perfect before God. We're no longer enemies with God, and we are free to be reconciled to Him. And this is exactly where Paul goes in his logical progression. We see in verses 10 and 11 that Paul says three times that since we've been justified, now three times, we are reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. Have a look with me at verse 10. For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Or again in verse 11, not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Now friends, what is reconciliation? At its most basic level, reconciliation is restoring ruined relationships. You may have missed it this week with all the COVID announcements, but this today actually marks the end, the last day of NIDOC week, a week of reconciliation, a week where we as a nation continue to heal the past hurts and restore the broken relationships with the original inhabitants of Australia. Reconciliation is what our nation needs. But friends, reconciliation is also what we spiritually need. And this is exactly what this passage declares has already been done. While we were enemies, Jesus reconciled us. The relationship has been restored. The foundational problem has been fixed. And this, this has cosmic implications. Have a look with me at verse 1. Do you see verse 1? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the peace that Paul is referring to here is so much more than a subjective feeling. It's an objective reality. It's that peace that one would have felt when World War II was over and victory had been declared. It's that peace where we realize that we are no longer God's enemies, we're no longer at war with God, but we've been reunited to Him as friends. We are at peace with God. And those who are at peace with God, verse 2, are welcomed into His presence. We see this in verse 2. Though we have, through Him, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Now the noun used here for access is probably a better translated introduced. Jesus literally introduces us into the presence of God as reconciled children of God. Now usually, for those of us who know the Bible, whenever someone comes into the presence of God in the Scriptures, what happens? Well, they fall down. They fall face down out of fear before a holy God. But is this what happens in verse 2? We don't fall down. Do you see in verse 2 that we stand? We stand in the presence of God. Having been justified by Jesus, we are free from the shame, the guilt, the fear, both past, present, and future. And we are able to stand there in the presence of God as His reconciled and redeemed children. Now, friends, if you've been a member of Christ Church for some time now, everything that I'm saying to you is not new. You probably know this. You probably could talk for hours about the nuances between justification and reconciliation. But I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you. How does knowing the right answers actually change your day to day? Are you growing in your peace, which surpasses all understanding? Are you more assured of your salvation today as you were this time last year? Or do you live like heaven's your home? Or will your friends say that you're actually flirting a bit with the world and trying to create a bit of heaven here on earth? I remember when I was at Moore College, I remember being struck by a lecturer when he said this during a lecture. He said, "There's a difference between knowledge and understanding. You may know something cognitively, but until you put it into practice, you don't truly understand it. We may know that exercise or eating right is good for us, but until we put that into practice, we don't truly understand how good it is for us." So friends, we may know these spiritual truths. We may be able to recite them. But I encourage you, are we putting them into practice, into our day-to-day lives? Are they renewing us? Are they sanctifying us? Are they changing us as people? As we draw to a close, I want to share two ways in which this fact that we have been redeemed and reconciled and justified by Jesus and through Jesus may renew us and prepare us for heaven. And there are two ways. There are two ways that I'd encourage us to reflect on. First is our redemption humbles proud hearts. And second, our redemption lifts up the lowly. First, our redemption humbles the proud. And secondly, it lifts up the lowly. Well, let's start with that first one. How does it humble proud hearts? Well, if you remember back to Genesis chapter 3, what was it that led to the fracture between humanity and God? Well, it was Adam and Eve's misplaced pride. Their pride enabled them to ignore God's good word and go their own way, thinking that they knew better. And this is what pride does for us, friends, isn't it? Our pride leads us to ignore God's good word and go our own way. Our pride leads us to think that we're superior to others. It is pride that prevents us from being real about our struggles and our sins. But by being reconciled to God through Jesus' death on the cross, well, friends, this becomes the ultimate antidote to pride. Because at a foundational level, there was something that we couldn't do. Actually, the most significant thing in our life we couldn't do. We needed help. We needed a Savior. And this is why at the end of verse 2 and also in verse 11, we're called not to boast in ourselves and our own ability, but we're called to boast in the glory of God, the one who has saved us. And friends, Paul gets this. Paul gets this when he says in Galatians 6:14, when he says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Well, friends, as redeemed and reconciled children of God, the cross humbles us and humbles our proud hearts as it actually reminds us of our place in God's universe. We're not God. We're not all-powerful. We're not in control. We need a Savior. The cross humbles the proud. But at the same time, the cross lifts up the lowly. Our redemption reminds us every day just how much God loves us. He loves us so much that this God was willing to enter into human history and die on a cross for you. Now, friends, this is significant. This is significant for anyone who is feeling overlooked, unloved, or ignored. This is significant because here in our redeemed state, we have a God who loves us. But this love also works in our day to day. It helps us reshape our present struggles and sufferings with this eternal perspective. So much so that if you look at verse 3, we're not called to stoically endure suffering, but radically. Look at what Paul says in verse 3. He says, "Not only so, but we also glory or boast or rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." As redeemed children of God, we can rejoice or boast in our suffering. Why? Because we have a hope of heaven that sits outside of our present circumstances and allows us to put whatever we are presently going through into a much broader perspective of the fact that we are redeemed and reconciled children of God. But finally, it doesn't just lift up those who are suffering. Did you notice when Jesus chose to redeem us? Did you see that? It wasn't when we were living our best life. It wasn't when we were strong or good or self-actualized. It wasn't at these times. Look with me at verse 6. Jesus did it when we were still powerless. Christ died for us. Verse 8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10, while we were God's enemies, Christ died for us. Jesus redeems us when we were at our lowest point, physically, spiritually, and relationally. And he did this, verse 8, to demonstrate his love for us, which, verse 5, he's poured into our hearts through his Holy Spirit. So friends, for those of us who are feeling lowly and downcast, maybe at this moment, be encouraged, because you've been redeemed by Jesus, who loves you so much that he was willing to die for you, to reconcile you to God. So as we close, at one time or another, we've all been on that spiritual plane that is plummeting to the ground. We've all realized or come to a point where we've realized that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot restore that relationship between us and God that has been fractured. We've come to the point where we need help. And friends, thanks be to God who sent Jesus to fix this foundational problem. And I pray this week that we will go from here as human beings who confidently boast in and live for the one who loves us so much that he was willing to die in our place, to redeem us. As Paul says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you that you loved us so much, that you entered into our reality, that you died in our place to justify us, to reconcile us, to redeem us when we were unable to do it ourselves. Father, we pray that we would live lives in remembrance of this. We pray that we'd live lives transformed by this. And we pray that this would continue to change our day-to-day. Amen.